97.5, The Fanatic.
This weekend's programming is brought to you by McLaughlin Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Your local HVAC experts. McLaughlin, service expected, satisfaction guaranteed. Visit McLaughlinPHC.com. So I was just looking because we're talking about the running game and how you get away from it. And I said to myself, I wonder where Miles Sanders ranks in terms. And I thought, just look at the NFC. And the guy ranks 16th in terms of, he has 99 carries for 437 yards. And that's 4.4 per carry. Very respectable. And to me, it's mind-boggling. And by the way, the 4.4 per carry in the NFC would put him at 8th. And he's actually tied for 7th. There's three of them who have 4.4 per carry. I mean, to me, I'm just asking for an explanation. Some of the impressive wins this team has had this year, the Packers, the Bills, both which were on the road, by the way. It wasn't Miles Sanders, but it was Jordan Howard, and he's not available. And so why not ride this guy? And especially when you were up to, you were up 2014. It's just, I don't totally understand it. All right, but we'll talk with Jim in Havertown, and we'll talk about the defense, or lack thereof. Jim, how's it going?
All right, D, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Them insane numbers, they remind me of my insane numbers that I saw. Every time I say this, Dave, I get the same, I shouldn't say every time, but most of the time I get the same stupid freaking what's the name comeback. I talk about blitzing all the time because I love Buddy Ryan. I love the idea of an aggressive defense. It's 4 against 5. So if you send one extra, that's a blitz. I agree, that's a blitz. That's 5 against 5. But Buddy didn't see it that way, did he? He wanted the numbers on his side, so he always, almost always, sent 6. He, 25% of the time, sent 7. 10% of the time, maybe 5% of the time, he sent 8. So I don't understand you not being aggressive on defense. I never will understand it. Nobody will ever explain it to me. And I got away from saying what I was going to say. When I say this, people say to me, and I'm talking about learned people on the radio, speaking of hosts, say, oh, you can't blitz all the time. I'm not saying blitz all the time. Nobody blitz 100% of the time. That's not what I'm saying. You got to be unpredictable. You know what, D? I didn't even see the end of this game. So I want to, what's the chance to sound like a fool here, but I want to guess they didn't blitz too much today. And I'm going to guess when they blitz, they only sent one extra.
The pressure was greater in the first half. You didn't miss anything. That's exactly.
They talk about it all the time. That's all I talk about anymore. Is if you can get pressure with 4, that means I can drop somebody extra back. Oh yeah, who are you dropping that extra back in this defensive backfield that's going to help me out? Who's in that defensive backfield already? With your starting 4, ain't nothing special. You're going to bring a 5th one. You're going to tell me maybe I guess and drop him back, or I don't know if you plan on running the nickel or not, or whatever you want to run. Drop a defensive lineman into coverage. I hate seeing that.
Right, can I interrupt and ask you
course.
A question?
Yeah, certainly.
So the last 4 weeks, would you have been complaining about the defense?
No, I went on. I did go on, and what's the name? I said my apologies to him because he's been blitzing more. I've been on Schwartz since he got here. He's so overrated.
No, I know. I know you don't care for his style for sure.
I backed down. Yeah, I did. I backed down. I said, look, hey, man, the guy's blitzing now, so. I got nothing left to say. He's blitzing more often, so we're winning. How could I? I don't want to sound like a fool and still complain about it when they're playing well.
Right.
But I thought it was probably an anomaly. I expected something like this to happen. Everybody I talked to, but I didn't think this was the game. I thought we were losing to Washington or the Giants because of the rivalry within the division. And division foes don't back down no matter what's going on with their season. They want to fight.
Absolutely.
So, well, I can't believe they lost to Miami.
Well,
can't believe it.
Here's the one thing. If I'd be curious to hear from Schwartz this week. I mean, Fitzpatrick has torched them now 2 years in a row.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, how do you not have a different scheme? How are you not prepared for this guy can step in and do this?
They always say to me, D, when you talk about blitz, and they talk about, like, Aaron Rodgers or, you know, the guy Tom and how he beats the blitz. Guess what? The only way Tom Brady lost Super Bowls was due to pressure. I don't care who you are and how good you are. I'm not stupid enough not to know that the blitz gets burnt sometimes. There's no doubt about it. It looks horrible when it gets burnt because the pressure didn't get home.
Yeah,
But you got to mix it up, D. You must mix it up.
All right. Jim, I appreciate the phone call.
Take care, Dave.
Have a good rest of your Sunday. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, I hear the frustration, and that it being unpredictable is definitely an asset. Absolutely. And we've spent a lot of time talking about how there's no creativity on the offensive side of the ball. You know, he makes a good point. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Nathan in Northeast Philadelphia. Nathan, thank you for calling The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, man. I just want to talk about the Eagles a little bit and this frustrating loss today. I just want to say, you know, we are struggling a lot.
Yes.
Like when I hear people say, oh, Carson Wentz is an average quarterback. He's not good anymore. Especially the whole should have kept Nick Foles argument, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, we haven't had that conversation today because Carson was
thank
fine.
God. Yeah, thank God. Well, today's argument is all defense. I will agree. Why don't we get some linebackers in here that can actually play? I haven't seen a good linebacker in the Eagles uniform since the 04 team where we had I can't even think of it. See how long ago that was? And it's like,
well, Trot was good. I remember Trotter back in the day.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had anybody even close to Jeremiah Trotter since then. I mean, the guy, but we should have gotten Van Reich. And there's a lot of different guys out there that we should have just aimed for because I think it starts with the defense. I mean, that 0-4 team, we're all defense. If we can at least solidify that and then worry about everything else, you know, I think we can build a decent team. And as far as our wide receivers go, you know, finally Jeffrey had a good game. I'm happy to see that. But,
yeah, he was you know, fine. Yeah, he had the 9 catches, 137 yards.
Amazing. And we love to see that. We like to see more of that. Keep going, Jeffrey. But I also would like to see the Eagles bring in somebody who's like a true number one that goes out there every week and they really got a game plan
meaning,
for this guy.
A true number one receiver.
You know, a true number one receiver.
Yeah,
I think they need to give Carson Wentz one. Give it one and see what the kid will do. I think he will blow up. I think everybody will be head over heels again and we'll have a team worth talking about. I mean,
unfortunately, in that first week of the season, it would have appeared that Deshaun Jackson would have helped him tremendously. He did then, and then you were left with what you're left with. You know, a guy who's getting older, has an injury that, you know, he couldn't rehab from and then had to have surgery. So,
the
plan was not the deep enough in the areas on the roster that you needed it. And a speedy receiver as a backup to Deshaun Jackson, to me, would have been a well-thought-out person that needed to be on the roster.
Absolutely. And there were guys out there that we could have gotten. I mean, all starts with the draft, I believe.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say, Arthega Whiteside isn't that guy. And
he's not.
And that's what you got in Arthega Whiteside is what you already had. And so now you have left yourself deficient.
Right, right.
Meaning the skill set. I'm not saying.
We have an Alshon.
Yeah.
We need to build for the future. And if we could draft good, if there's guys in there that can really see what real talent is, I mean, all of us football players, when we see a guy who's out there that's just a stud, and I don't care if he's the best in college football, there's guys out there like Ward, for example, watching him preseason, I'm like, oh, my God, this guy, he's an athlete. And we need to just bring guys in that can really play football, you know, and I can't wait to see it. I'm not hopeful this year, obviously. But I just, you know.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that guy today was Devontae Parker, and he was wearing the other jersey.
How did he moss Darby like that? I mean, get Darby out of here. This guy doesn't know how to play football. It's another one.
Yeah. I appreciate the phone call. Have a great rest of your night, Nathan.
You too.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Right. Yeah. I know. Ooh. I can't decide if it's like where would you begin to fix it? And I'm not saying like across the board we can talk about deficiencies, but in this off season, no matter how the final 4 weeks play out, there's a lot of change that needs to be done here. And it is true. It would be curious if if Carson had that kind of receiver, you know, I mean, he goes heavily to Ertz, and rightly so. Last year he had 116 receptions. Alshon, as we pointed out, you know, the 9 catches today, 137 yards. Actually, let's look at the receivers today. I'm coming back to you guys on the phone. Nick, you're up next. I just want to look at some numbers. So we had Alshon with 9. Dallas Goedert had the 6 catches for 66 yards. Nelson with 3 for 41. 3 to Ertz for 24. I mean, that's just not an Ertz day. Sanders, his best work was done on the ground, but he had 5 receptions, 22 yards. And then, obviously, Ortega Whiteside with his 1 catch, and it was a TD, a 15-yard reception. So he's actually had, I believe, if I go each of the last 3 weeks, now, again, they're all 3 losses, he had 1 29-yard catch, 25 last week, and this week's is 15, but he got in the end zone. Who'd have thunk it? Let's check in with Nick in Ardmore. Nick, you thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
You're welcome. The organization is suffering from lottery winnings syndrome. You know those people out there who win the lottery, they've never had anything in their life, and all of a sudden they got millions in front of them. Then you look 2-3 years down the road, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm broke. That's what the Eagles are. They're suffering from the Super Bowl syndrome. Doug would have burned all his books. Someone should get a tractor trailer and just mow over that statue out front. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And the other syndrome that's going through, I call this the Mike Missinelli syndrome. Imagine your secondary school kid coming home from school, giving you his report card or her report card, and there's 5 F's on there, but there's 190, and that 90's in spelling. That's sort of like saying, that's the Eagles. You know, well, you know, they're 5-7, but they can still get in the playoffs. That is moronic. I mean, I can't accept that. I mean,
well, I'm not saying you have to accept it, but I can't ignore the fact that if they do win those 4 games, the math says they're in. And I can't ignore the fact that the Giants are 2-10. Washington is 3-9. Now, I don't think their 5-7 makes them much better than those 2 teams, but it is feasible to do it.
You're certainly right. You're certainly right. But again, it's like the kid who came home from school. Hey, son.
I got you.
Hey, you're a great speller. You know, but you'll be nothing in life. And it's just disgusting.
You're right. I like the analogy better with the lottery, but I agree with you that having something that isn't useful is pointless. I get that point. And right now, they are suffering in a lot of areas, and it doesn't look like there is a quick fix. Now, they can tell me they can run the table. I have no reason, watching what I watched today, that will happen, because the eye test says the 10 penalties. When are you correcting that? You have 78 in 12 games. You refused to run the ball. You had 19 carries compared to 46 passing plays. You know, these are things that my numbers tell me there's just no way you're going to win 4 consecutive division games.
And you're correct. And also, we're finding out more and more and more that DeFilippo and Frank Wright
had a lot to do with winning.
Those were the guys. Mm-hmm. Those were the guys.
Yep.
And he is definitely not the man. And also, it's 10:15 and nobody's been fired. Come on, Jeffrey. Well, you put 90.
Nick, thank you for the phone call. Yes, you cannot. You're not going to have that knee-jerk reaction. You just mentioned it. You don't want to hear that 4 wins would allow them to win the division and give them a spot in the postseason. But that can happen. And with 4 games remaining, you're not having a knee-jerk reaction to fire people. I mean, it's a disappointing loss, absolutely. Some would say it maybe is the worst loss in Doug's tenure, certainly in his time after 2017. That's for sure. To go into and what is even more egregious is that he actually tried to tell us as fans that, you know, hey, they're a good football team. I mean, you can say they had a good day. We ran into, you know, Fitzpatrick, who has had our number. I mean, there's just other ways to say it. But to say they're a good football team when, you know, people ask, people look at numbers. People look at games. You know, I mean, they looked better than you today, and that should not be the case. You should have been able to go in there with the defense that you had, and you should have been able to win that football game. And you had opportunities to kind of take the game and really put it away. Whether you want to say when you were up 10-0 early or coming out of halftime, you had the ball, you score a touchdown, and you're now up 2 touchdowns. To allow Fitzpatrick to just march down the field and make it a, at that point, was 28-20. Yeah, because they missed the extra point. But, I mean, anyhow, let's check in with Train in Camden. Train, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, you're very right. And I do believe that we need a stronger backup. When Foles was there, Wentz played harder. It's not playing hard. The defensive line is beautiful. We should have kept Bennett. We shouldn't have let Golden Tate go because Deshaun got hurt. We need a third down receiver to come in and help us out on short passes. We can't blame everything on the receivers because it's not their fault. Our DBs, I don't think they should have been there this year. A double move, you're in the NFL. You should be well aware of a double move by now. And they're slow.
Yeah, well, that is definitely true. If you had to pick one, I would disagree with the Wentz, especially on today. I would say last week I would tell you he had a bad game. I think his numbers today, and I actually think he looked pretty comfortable to start this game, and I don't have much fault. Now, if you want to say he could play harder, how? What would make it look harder that he's playing harder?
Wentz, I love Wentz and everything. Wentz, he never stood in the pocket this long. He was one of his agile. He always popped out of the pocket and kept the play going. Now, I know the offensive line is hurting a little bit, and we got to get a younger to take the Smolin guy. He kills us on penalties. He gets a holding penalty every time we get a good play going.
Yeah. I mean, their penalties were all over the place. As much as I blame players, and I do, because it's them who is committing the penalty, but I do blame a coaching staff that has allowed something like penalties to be. Doug comes out and always says, you know, we have to be more consistent, meaning don't commit the penalties. And yet the only thing consistent that seems to happen is they have too high number of penalties on a regular basis.
Yes, and the low ball. Number 11, he had a field day. I mean, it didn't matter who you put on there. I wish Malcolm Jenkins was a DB. I really do. He plays hard.
Yeah.
He plays hard. Yeah. And he needs a little more help. Chris Long should have stayed. I really think we need him back there, too.
Well, the names you've mentioned. Well, first of all, on the defensive line, I would have liked to at some point been able to see what Malik Jackson would have brought you. But you never had that chance. So.
Yes. He did very good in preseason. Yes.
Yeah,
very
so,
good.
But, I mean, he got hurt, and that's been the whole season since.
Oh, that's, I didn't know he got hurt.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not been there since week one.
Oh, man. Yeah. But I love the 1-4. They play hard. They're on the field too long for one, and after a while, you start to get drained. We don't have big plays no more. We got fast and finesse. So after a while, you start pounding them, and they start getting tired. I just wish the DBs played a little stronger, too.
Let me tell you something. More. That'd be another reason I would have run the ball when I'm up 28-14 more. Yeah. Because I would be wanting to chop away at the clock and give your guys some rest.
I don't know why we like to play from behind. It seems like no matter how many points we up, we always seem to give it away.
Yeah.
Always seem to give it away.
Well, today that was 23 unanswered points. 23 unanswered points to a 2-win team.
Yes. To a team, we should have beat them at least 40-17.
Yeah.
I say.
I appreciate the phone call, Train, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Yes, I call him Fanatic all the time. That's my nickname. My real name is Dwayne, but I always call him Camden. Yes.
All right.
I love the Fanatic. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Appreciate it. Good points, for sure. And, you know, it will be interesting to see what Doug Peterson says tomorrow, because, you know, these coaches, they definitely take a peek at the game again on your trip home. And, you know, he has his presser, and I don't think you will hear much yet tomorrow. I think tomorrow will be analyzing and asking questions of how did this happen before anyone will want to turn the attention to the Monday night game where they will host the New York Giants. And the Giants fell to 2-10 today. They got beat by the Packers. But I agree with one of the previous callers who said divisional games, even if you're playing for nothing, they tend to come at you hard because they're division games. And now you have four staring you in the face to finish your season. Four. And I'll be curious to, before you start to look ahead to those, some explaining done about what happened in Miami today that led to a 37-31 defeat that dropped your record on a day you could have left Miami in first place in your division. In first place. Instead, you're 5-7. 610-632-0975. Dan, you're up next on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so we've been talking a lot about the Eagles and the Dolphins, and I just saw as I was scrolling through on ESPN, after losing to the Dolphins, the Eagles now have a 28% chance to reach the playoffs, and that's per FPI. I mean, I those are real, or meaning the 28% doesn't sound good. But you do control your own destiny if you are the Eagles and can win four consecutive games. That sounds easier said than done in my book, just because I think that I would throw records out when it comes to your division rivals, and you're going to play one of them twice, the Giants. First on the Monday night game here coming up, and then the final game of the season. However, I wouldn't mind seeing, with, you know, everything at stake, who this Eagles team could be. Because to me, and then one of the qualities of Doug Peterson's teams have been when their back is against the wall, that they tend to rise to the occasion. Now, I said that did not happen in the Dallas game this year. That did not happen today, and I think it was important to, when you didn't split with the New England and the Seattle game, which were two games tough against good teams on your home field, when you didn't split those two, that you had to get back on the winning track against a 2-9 Miami Dolphins team. And Doug Peterson's phrase for it was that they self-destructed, you know, pointed to the 10 penalties. Two in particular, I know, when you gave him 15 yards twice. So that was part of it. And then on the flip side, Dolphins coach talks, you know, about giving his team a spark, or the play that gave his team the spark was the fake field goal very early on. And so he's operating out of, you know, give my team a spark after they had turned the ball over early. 610-632-0975. We check in with Dan in Omaha. Dan, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, D. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm just so annoyed.
Let's start with what annoys you most.
You know, I thought we had turned the corner on defense.
Me too. That's the most inexplicable for me.
Yeah. You know, we do a great job against Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, and then...
And then this.
Fitzpatrick. By the way, to add injury to insult, I took the money line on the Eagles today. I was so confident they were going to win. So it just...
I got to tell you, I can't believe I haven't heard from Moore, who... there has to be people so annoyed at losing today because of any part of this. I can't imagine people won.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I started getting a bad feeling after our third drive because, you know, first drive, interception right away for Dolphins' first three drives. Interception.
Yep.
And then three and out.
Yep.
And then we're only up 10-0. And, you know, maybe it's unreasonable to think, oh, we should have scored a touchdown all three times. But it just felt like we had a chance to really put them out early.
Sure.
And the fact that they were only down 10-0, I think just, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you make a good point, because being down the two touchdowns early like that, meaning instead of a field goal, if you had scored twice, I think you're up so big early that I don't think you have the same Fitzpatrick performance, which according to their coach was actually sparked by the fake field goal that they now have new life.
Yeah. They had in that our third possession, I mean, I think one of the penalties on was kind of a nonsense call. I don't think it should have been a penalty, but I think, you know, we start off that third drive with a 16 or 17 yard completion to Goddard. So it looked like we're about to move the ball again, or maybe it was Ertz. I can't remember.
Is this the one where it ended in the field goal?
No, I'm sorry. It was maybe I'm getting my order mixed up, but it was one where we had to punt.
Oh,
so
yes.
Basically, we had like a first down like twice,
yep.
But because of our penalties, they took them away.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Well, and the penalties to me, it's so frustrating. I mean, 10 penalties for 91 yards. I just don't understand that. It to me says so much about just not being a disciplined group. I just don't understand how you can. And I don't know if you heard, but Tyler was with me a little while ago, and they have 78 penalties in 12 games.
I did hear you say that. Yeah, it's nuts.
I mean, that's you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, so yep. Basically we're getting 6 or 7 penalties a game.
Yep.
I know we're still in control of our own destiny and all that, but I mean, after today, I mean, how can you be confident?
Well, I just, now you have to win 4 in a row, right? And you can say, well, you know, this is the easiest part of the schedule. First of all, you've only won 2 in a row at any point, and yeah. I don't know how you call 4 consecutive division games an easy schedule. I just don't. I don't think that is. And you have to play one of them twice,
right?
You know, I just think it's a taller order than just looking at a 2-10 Giants team and a 3-9 Washington team. I think it's a taller order than that.
I agree. I mean, I just think like if you're you know, Washington or New York, I mean, you're 3-9 or 2-10, and you think your season was over a long time ago, but now you got to be like, man, if we just won one or two of those games we lost,
you'll be right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Today actually is the day that the Giants have been eliminated from winning the division. That's how bad the division is. Takes them,
yeah.
You know, 12 games with just 2 wins before they're eliminated.
It sucks when the Eagles lose, but I do have to admit, Eagles Twitter is a lot more fun after a loss than a win. Have you seen some of the memes where it was like, what was the ice skating movie with Will Ferrell where there's a part where he's running from some guy or they're both trying to beat each other somewhere, but they're off the ice and on like normal floor,
a
normal floor, and they're like falling over trying to get ahead of each other, and it was like then like basically
Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory. Yeah.
Blades of Glory.
I'm not doing a good job explaining it, but basically it's like a Dallas Star over one of the characters' faces.
Yeah, but whenever you have Will Ferrell, I can picture where you're going with it. I appreciate the phone call, Dan. Hopefully next time we chat, there's something more positive to be speaking about.
I hope so, too.
All right, have a good evening. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm so bad with knowing those movies. Thank you to Dylan for telling me Blades of Glory. All right, let's check in with Rahab on the cell. Thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good evening. Basically, with some of the issues, you mentioned something about discipline, which was something I was going to mention. It seems to be a real lack of discipline and accountability. And the thing is that, you know, the way that defense, I was watching the defense, the way they played is like, the defensive line, like the way he was getting in, you know, they was getting pressure on Tom Brady and Russell Wilson in the last 2 weeks, and then they just couldn't get any pressure whatsoever on Fitzpatrick. I mean, to me, it looked like that defense or maybe the team was maybe they partied a little too much in South Beach. I don't know. Like, they just did not look like the team that we had seen the last 2 weeks.
I would agree with that. I don't know what led up to it, but I would agree that the eye test says they did not look aggressive, and they did not look like the defense of the previous 2 weeks.
No, they did not. And the thing that really stands out is the fact that there's no consistency, there's no balance. Either the defense is playing really well and the offense sucks,
right,
or the offense is playing really well and
the defense
sucks. Like, why can't this team just be balanced? They both come out and play good football, but this all goes back to coaching. It's just that simple. You know, Doug Peterson, he's responsible for all this because as the head coach, he's supposed to make sure that his coaches are doing their job, making sure that these players are prepared to play football.
Yep.
And that's not happening. You know, the fact that they had, you said there was 10 penalties for 91 yards and they had 78 penalties over 12 games.
Yep.
That's inexcusable. That's inexcusable, you know. And the one thing that really just grinds my gears is when Doug gets up there, like, people are stupid and like, oh, you know, we have a good team. We have a good football team. I disagree. You don't have a good football team because you wouldn't sat there and had a 2-9 team must put 40 points up on you, you know?
Yep.
So at this particular point, I have no confidence that they're making the playoffs. And honestly, I don't want them to make the playoffs. Make the playoffs and do what? You know?
Right.
Like, honestly, I don't have any confidence that they're going to win 4 straight division games. I definitely have no confidence they're going to beat Dallas. I mean, you can't beat the Dolphins. Like, come on, man. It's crazy. And honestly, Carson Wentz, at this particular point, he should be improving. And all I see is he's regressing. I watched 2 passes in, like, within 2 series that he overthrew Alshon Jeffrey by a mile. And he was by himself. And it's like, how are you overthrowing this man, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
I will say that, and I thought Carson's day was pretty good. I know where you're pointing to, and it happens to be what I call the critical part of the game. And,
absolutely.
And to not be able to make a critical play. Now, others would say, you know, Ertz dropped 2 balls that he normally would not, and they could have been difference makers as well. But I agree with you that he overthrew Alshon. Definitely, I remember the one. I'm not sure if I remember the other.
Yeah, there was one down the sideline. It was one straight down the middle of the field. But the other thing is, I don't understand why is it that Doug Peterson will not run the ball? When you look at the 5 wins we have.
Yep. Well, I know I can point to 2 that the Green Bay game and the Buffalo Bills game. Jordan Howard was a stud in both of them, and they ran the ball.
Exactly. But even when before Jordan Howard got hurt, we lost games, but because they refused
to run the ball. Absolutely.
It's like, I don't understand. As a head coach, you can't see that, okay, this is working. Let's try to focus on this. That's helping us win.
No,
you don't have the receiving core to be throwing the ball over the field.
I agree.
It doesn't make any sense. In my opinion, he should be on the hot seat right now. I think the Super Bowl has saved him for right now because I can guarantee if the Super Bowl is not won 2 years ago, he's probably out of a job right now or about to be.
Yeah, he would definitely be on a hot seat. I would agree with you. Yeah,
I give him one more. I think this is next season is going to be his season where it's like, okay, you better make it happen, or he's going to be out of here because the boneheaded decisions he makes is just inexcusable. It's like it doesn't make any sense. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's way over his head.
I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate your thoughts too. A lot of good thoughts about the Eagles and what they have failed to do, and where the blame can lie. 610-632-0975. Pete and E, you're up next on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, Sunday evening, and the Philadelphia Eagles are probably still lamenting the fact that they went down to Miami and came home with a 37-31 defeat when they had a chance to be coming home leading the NFC East. And now they are 5-7 with four games remaining. All four are against division teams. Giants, Washington, Dallas, and Giants again. In that order, beginning with a Monday night game against the Giants next week. But there's a lot about today's game that leaves you shaking your head, questioning people and the jobs they are given to do. Some of that is coaching. Some of that is on players. And, you know, how do you do this? When you have an interception to start this game, right? Turnover right away. What more could you want? And then you go up 10-0. Could you have taken them by the jugular, so to speak, they being the Dolphins, and been up more than 10-0 early in this game? And could that have changed the whole complexion, because you would have, you know, taken the fight or the spark out of anything Miami could throw your way? Nonetheless, you still led 21-14 at the half and 28-14 after getting the ball to start the second half, third quarter, and marching down and scoring a touchdown. So the opportunities were there. And once again, I feel like we've said this often. I mean, I guess when you have seven losses, you can say you feel like they've been here before. And they have, just not against a team as bad as the Dolphins, which, you know, they were 2-9 going into this game. All right, let's check in with Pete in D.C. Pete, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how are you? I called last week.
How are you?
All right, so I'm doing good. So I called last week, and whoever your co-host was, after I got off the call, I was like, I just felt like he was just being a Carson Wentz apologist. I just want to make a few points.
Okay. Well, first of all, would we agree that Carson played okay today?
No, I don't agree with that.
Oh, okay.
I don't agree with that.
All right.
Because, and I'm going to point out some things where I don't agree with that.
All right.
In the second half, we got the quick touchdown to Alshon.
Yep.
Okay, and that happened at the 11-minute mark.
Yes, it did.
For the rest of the half, we didn't score anymore. For the rest of the game, we didn't. He never let us to any more touchdowns. And yes, Zach Gertz had a drop, but that's only one or two plays. Like, I'm tired of people blaming a couple drops on these losses. Like, look, you when you make a drop, the quarterback, the leader of the team, has to move on to the next play, no matter. And I just don't get that from Carson Wentz. And I don't want to feel like I'm beating a dead horse with just beating up on him, because I think he's a good person. But there's something missing. since the ACL injury. And so my points that I wanted to make tonight was that.
Well, let me just stop for a second, and I will tell you, we have had this discussion tonight that I would agree with you that we wanted, or as a fan, you wanted to see him march down the field in that fourth quarter. And because it's a doable on multiple times, it could have happened in the third too, but to grab a hold of this game and go and get a touchdown and put your team in front. It was very doable, and it just didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And look, I understand that your defense, our defense is not a shutdown defense. Our defense is not going to hold people to 21 points or less every week. And it feels like when we have games where our defense is not like that, we don't have a chance. And so I would say to people that's blaming our defense and blaming our coaching staff, I'll ask them a few questions, okay? How many points did the Patriots score on us on the Super Bowl? We still won that game. Who was our coach last year when we were in the same predicament out of the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
He was out of the playoffs. And nobody, we had like 10% chance of making the playoffs. And, you know, when they finally set Wentz for his back injury, whatever that excuse was, once they set him out, this team looked like a whole different team. We looked like, D, can I say one thing? Like, we just won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. This team ain't that different from that team.
I guess
that's not true.
Yeah, come on, Pete. That's not true.
Hold on. We had some injuries this year, but this team, I'm not saying that we're a Super Bowl contender, but what I'm saying is this team should still be in its Super Bowl window. So we should still be making playoffs. And what I'm saying is last year we was in the same predicament. And Doug Peterson was our coach last year too. The quarterback makes up for a lot of flaws on a football team in the NFL.
I have to ask you though. With 10 penalties for 91 yards, what will you say to that?
Okay, those were mistakes. And Zach Ertz had mistakes, and Doug could have ran the ball. He could have ran the ball more.
Should have run the ball
still
more.
Feel like he should have, but I still feel like
we talk about that with him all the time.
Right, but I mean, were they like?
Can I ask you a question?
Year?
Can I ask you one more?
Yes.
And then I'll let you finish. The Dolphins are 31st in the league against the run. Why?
Okay.
Please go at that. Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins coaching staff sees that he can torch Jalen Mills, so he keeps going at him, picks him apart. Why does one staff see a flaw and go at it, and the other staff refuses to see something that is working? Miles Sanders had a career day, by the way, and in the conference, he ranks 8th in terms of having 4.4 yards per carry this year, 99 carries, 4.4 per, and today it was 4.9, and he runs the ball 3 times in the second half, and he was up 14 points. Please explain that to me, and you're going to put that on Carson Wentz?
I will say this about that, okay? Miles Sanders is a solid back, but let's not act like even when we won the Super Bowl, D, we ran running back by committee, and so everybody wants Miles. Do y'all want Miles Sanders to have 30 rushes a game? It's not going to happen. The guy is not a workhorse back, and so
your explanation is it's okay to give him 14 carries in the first half and only 3 in the second. It's okay to do that.
I mean, you got to look at where we were down.
You were up 14 when he did that.
We was up 14, but D, y'all are acting like this Doug Peterson is a different guy than he was when he was successful.
No, I'm saying.
He still gave y'all bland comments after games. He still was the laid-back guy. I'm telling y'all, and I'm going to call one day. Remember me, Pete in D.C.
I'm going to
call one day.
I'll remember.
When this thing ends, and it's not ending so well, and I'm going to say, I told y'all so. This thing is all about the quarterback.
All right, Pete, I got to hit a break, but thank you for the phone call. quarterbacks, definitely, it's a quarterback league. I totally agree with you. Carson Wentz, 28 of 46, 310 yards, three touchdowns. Yes, there is one interception there, and it was on the Hail Mary pass at the end of the game. Last week, he was terrible, horrific. Totally agree with you last week, Pete, but I'm sorry. I cannot say that today this falls, that would be your first explanation of this loss, that you would automatically go to a Carson Wentz, and that you do not put Doug Peterson in, like, you think that that's the who he was to win the Super Bowl, fine. He also had different people around him, if we want to talk about personnel, and it was on the sidelines with him. So, I mean, we can have that conversation, but I'm just saying that Carson Wentz, do you want to say he's missing some? There's like an intangible there that does not come through? All right, I'll say that. But this was not on Carson Wentz today. 610-632-0975. E, you're up next on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.